following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. This is DJ Velo. Welcome to Wandering the Seven, where each episode we dive into the real history, controversies, and cultural significance surrounding the seven wonders of the world. Hi there. This is episode one. Today we're going to be discussing the Great Wall of China. Now, the Great Wall of China was built in the pre-Qin period, which was in the before the year 221 BCE, and it was originally built to defend against these nomadic tribes that would try to invade from the north. The areas that they would try to invade would be these small kingdoms. Some examples of them would be Yan, Zhao, and Qin. But the big problem that the small kingdoms would have when going up against these nomadic tribes was that when the tribes would invade, they would do so on horseback using a bow and arrow. And they had quite the mastery over that. And it was just a very challenging thing for the small kingdoms to deal with. So the solution they came up with was to build a wall that would be able to protect them from this type of invasion. Now, something interesting about when they were building the walls back then compared to how we might think about them now is that when they were building them at this time, it was actually mostly surrounded by a desert landscape. So it's not the same as it is now with all these grass terrain and like the brick and stones that were, well, the brick and stone walls that we see now. They built it in a desert landscape, and they usually had to use these reeds as well as sticks to build up a foundation that they were also able to stick together with a muddy solution that they were able to build as well. And they would just use these two things to stack on top of each other in order to create a wall big enough to defend. And they would strategically try to place these walls between valleys and other possible entry points that the nomadic tribes might be able to go through. But the original person who actually started to create this wall would be Emperor Qin Shi Huang. He was the first emperor who actually unified China. And he basically tried to connect and expand the earlier walls to form a more unified defensive structure. The Great Wall of China isn't actually just one like big wall that spans across the most of China. It's actually a bunch of different walls connected together, either by other like natural landforms, for instance, mountains and rivers. In a sense, they still all do connect. The thing about when they were building this wall was actually that labor was very, very brutal. There were like many hundreds of thousands of workers, including soldiers, peasants, and prisoners, who were forced into building this wall. And over time, they would actually start to extend and build it more and more. For instance, in the Han Dynasty, between 206 BCE to 220 CE, they would extend the wall further west into what is now the Gansu province to protect trade routes like the Silk Road, which is another thing about the Great Wall, being that it wasn't only built for defense, it was actually also built for things like communication and trading. And then going on to the Ming Dynasty in year 1368 to 1644, they actually went on to build the existing wall that we see today, with them rebuilding and reinforcing the existing wall with brick and stone. The Ming were actually under constant threat from the Mongols, which was one of the nomadic tribes. And the Mongols were actually led by Genghis Khan, who is one of the more renowned people when you look at history. But even his existence has been a little questionable for many people, that it's still debated whether or not he actually existed. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Mulan, if you guys have, Genghis Khan is in that one as well. Getting back on track, the threat of the Mongols prompted heavy fortification and construction of watchtowers, barracks, and signal beacons, which, while helpful, didn't actually amount to much, as the Mongols under Genghis Khan were actually still able to bypass and breach the wall in the 13th century. It was also able to be breached again in the 17th century when the Mancus breached the wall with the help of a defecting Ming general And that's actually how the Qing dynasty was established afterwards. This leads well into our next segment about the controversies and criticisms behind the wall, because it is actually very, very criticized for its lack of effectiveness when it was breached these two times by the Mongols and the Mengis. But another big criticism that was had and controversy was that the human cost behind the wall was very big. As I stated before, the construction was involving a lot of forced labor and under harsh conditions. There was actually a death toll involved with it, estimated to be around, I believe, hundreds and thousands. But yeah, there's like a popular saying behind the building of the wall, which is every brick has a life behind it. But yeah, it also connects to an even greater myth that the wall, every brick in it, has like some sort of corpse or bones in it. It's a myth, but it's still one that is interesting, and it can be seen like why people would think that. You know, the suffering that was involved with its creation is it really, I guess it can do a lot to with the imagination. But yeah, other than that, in terms of myths, some people actually apparently believe that the wall was visible from the moon. But NASA had debunked this in a recent study quite a while back. It's also, as mentioned before, it's not a continuous wall, but a network of walls, which can also be a common misconception. But yeah, its total length goes, I believe, around 21,000 kilometers, which is 13,000 miles approximately. But yeah, that's about it for the myths of the wall. But in terms of its cultural significance, it's been a symbol of Chinese identity. I don't know if anyone can really think about China without thinking of the Great Wall. I definitely can't. But yeah, it's become a nationalist symbol, at least in modern China. It's used to convey Chinese ingenuity, perseverance, and sovereignty, just because of the amount of work that it took to build it, as well as, well, they had to persevere through a whole lot of suffering. And it was, yeah, it's just a lot of work behind its creation. But yeah, it was heavily promoted during the 20th century under both nationalist and communist regimes. It's also seen as a global icon. So it's listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It was listed in, I believe, 1987. But yeah, it's one of the most visited monuments in the world. There's actually even a marathon that's run on the Great Wall. It's called the Jin Shen Ling Great Wall Ultra Marathon, where they basically run through the whole, or most of the Great Wall. But yeah, it's still one of the most visited places. But yeah, it's also become a central feature in literature, art, and pop culture. I don't know if you guys have seen a movie. It's literally called the Great Wall. It's about like all these like creatures that are like, I guess, coming from nowhere, and they try to go and climb up the Great Wall, and there's just these warriors who are shooting them down with bows and arrows, which it's not very, very realistic, but it does like at least give some sense of imagination about ways that they might have defended their area back then when like the horses with people and bow and arrows tried to invade. Could give some imagination to how they might defend with their own bows and arrows, possibly on top of the wall. But yeah, it's a very big global icon. It also had some political symbolism in modern politics. It has been referenced metaphorically in discussions of isolationism, nationalism, and border security in and outside of China. There's also massive amount of tourism and preservation of the wall. It has led to concerns about erosion and commercialization because of how much people want to visit the wall. And of course, there's things like the marathon. But there's many parts of the walls that are unrestored ruins, especially in like remote regions. And there's a lot of preservation efforts that have been both praised and criticized. But yeah, there's only reason for it is because there's some reconstructions that are seen as inauthentic by many. But yeah, actually, since I feel like I keep coming back to it, I think I'm going to probably talk about more about the marathon, actually. just because it seems like such an out there thing, you know. I don't think anyone would expect that there's a marathon on the Great Wall, but apparently there's I believe three versions of it. There's a full marathon, the half marathon, and the fun run. The full marathon is 26.2 miles, half marathon is 13.1 miles, and then the fun run is 5.5 miles with a lot of elevation. So there's about, I believe, 1,282 meters of elevation gain, which is very high if you can read, I guess, meters. I honestly don't know how high that is, to be honest, but it sounds like a lot. It's a big distance. It's hosted at a venue in Huangyaguan, and it's like you go through like local villages, and you're basically cheered on by the residents there as well, which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's a pretty cool event that happens at the Great Wall of China. I think with that said, I'll probably just end this off with some fun facts about the Great Wall of China. But yeah, it wasn't only meant to keep out humans like just nomad tribes. There was also other uses, for instance, keeping out wild animals, and yeah, basically it was just used to defend against anything that could possibly attack their small kingdoms. There's also a legend about a woman who cried the wall down, the tale of Meng Zheng Nu. It tells of a woman whose husband died building the wall, and basically her grief was so powerful that she wept and part of the wall collapsed. It's one of the most, apparently one of the most famous love tragedies in China. It's also been used as a stage for an opera. In 2001, there was I believe a full-scale production of Turandot, which was a play by Puccini. But yeah, it was staged right on the wall with like a lot of sets, lighting, and there was even an international cast. But yeah, they basically turned the wall into a giant outdoor theater. As far as I know, there hasn't been any other plays or things like that since 2001. I could be wrong though. But yeah, it also had some secret tunnels. There were some sections that had underground tunnels or hidden rooms that were used to either store weapons, hide troops, or move between wall sections without being seen. There's also a museum that's built on the wall. It's at Badaling. It's one of the most visited sections. It's literally called the Great Wall Museum, and it basically just holds a bunch of artifacts, models, and there's some interactive exhibits as well. But yeah, it's built inside the wall, and yeah, you could visit it at Badaling. Along the wall, there are also temples and shrines that ancient soldiers and builders would pray for protection, victory, or safety in terms of returning home. But looking at the time now, we have time for about a couple more. But yeah, it's also not just in China. The Great Wall also extends to modern-day Mongolia, and it also extends to other border regions that were part of the ancient Chinese empires. So yeah, it's not only in China anymore. It's also extended to the point where it basically goes over the border of other countries around it. I guess one more would be that it was also mostly abandoned after the Qing Dynasty, well, the one that I mentioned in between 1644 and 1912. Once China was united during the Qing Dynasty and the regions to the north, the wall, like, it lost its military significance. So it basically gradually fell into neglect until, you know, the modern preservation efforts began to rebuild it and basically make it like new. But yeah, those are some just cool fun facts about the Wall of China. And yeah, that's going to be our episode. I thank you all for joining me today and learning more about one of the seven wonders of the world. Hope you guys enjoyed. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys again for our next episode.